Welcome, everybody. It is Andrew here from Apple Insider for HomeKit Insider with my pal Steven. How you doing, Steven?
I'm doing well. Coming off that WWDC high, thinking of all the news and stuff that's going on, and ready to do some follow-up too, man. A lot of HomeKit stuff going on.
I know. I was so excited for all the HomeKit stuff. I feel like we barely even talked about all the dub content that came out. So we've been playing with the betas now, and we just a little bit more to share on that, as well as news, user questions, and we also have a giveaway this week, which is kind of exciting. Our first giveaway for the show.
That's right. So we'll give you more information about that giveaway later in the show. Wanted to start with some follow-up. I had some home projects that I've got corrected or working now. The first one is Acara. They were nice enough. We know how to say their name now, first of all, so we won't have to mess that up anymore. But after my experience with a couple of the Acara switches a few weeks ago, they were nice enough to send me an additional switch. This was their single rocker, no neutral wire switch. Again, if you haven't heard before, my house is kind of an old house. I found out it was like 1940s, actually. So I have no neutral or ground wires in any of my switches. Just very old, very stiff copper wire for in all my junction boxes. But the first time I tried the Acara switch, for some reason it didn't work, and they sent me a new one. It's the same style that I had gotten. There'll be a link in show notes to it on Amazon, but installed it in one of my rooms, and it works. Works great. No ground, no neutral, just have the two wires. Got it hooked up to HomeKit, got it set up in some automations, and it's working great. My junction boxes are pretty shallow, so I can't get it super tight in there. I had a similar issue where if I get it too far into the box, something is pushing against it that prevents the button from clicking, or it thinks it's like I'm holding the button down, so it kept entering pairing mode if I tightened it too far. But that's an old house issue. Switch is great. So got that in, working, set up with HomeKit, and now I'll probably be getting some more Acara switches because they're definitely more inexpensive than the Lutron no neutral single rocker switch, which I got and tried a couple weeks ago. You know, things like $80. You can get these for much less. So kudos to Acara. Made a switch. It works. Got it working with HomeKit. And I wanted to ask you, actually, with Acara devices specifically, I still struggle to figure out exactly where or how to make sure they show up in Home, in the HomeKit app on my iOS devices. Is there like some kind of incantation I need to do? Or it showed up eventually, but I didn't know if there was like a way to force push those Acara devices to HomeKit.
No, I don't believe so. I'm pretty sure once you add them to the hub is essentially responsible for exposing those to HomeKit inside of the Home app. So once you just kind of added it to the Acara hub, you should be good to go.
Gotcha. And it did appear. It took a couple minutes, but it's there. It's in multiple automations, so that's working great. So thanks, Acara, and kudos to them. You can see a link in show notes to that switch. Secondly, I actually picked up a Logitech Circle View camera. You had reviewed it on the show a couple weeks ago. I'll put a link to that episode in show notes if you want to check out Andrew's full review. But I did have a couple questions because this is my first HomeKit Secure video camera. So I was setting it up late last night, so I might not have had the clearest head to figure out everything. I have access to my camera. I'm actually looking at it right now on my iPad in the Home app. Now, when it comes to recording clips, you know, I'm looking at the interface right now. You know, you have that timeline at the bottom where you can kind of scrub back and forth. Is that kind of the only place to access specific clips and motion?
Yeah, it is. So it would actually be nice if developers were allowed to play with this more. But at least right now, that's not possible. Because I would love to see what third parties could do with that library interface. But that's really the only way that you can do it, you know, the Home app as it stands.
Gotcha. So I've seen now, and how far back does it go with clips?
So you can get 10 days on your iCloud storage. Really, your iCloud storage is broken up. If you have like the 200 gig iCloud storage plan, you have 10 days of recording for, it might be like one camera or something like that, one or three cameras. And then if you upgrade to the 2 terabyte plan, I know you get 10 days of cloud recording for up to 5 cameras. And that did not change with iOS 14, fortunately. So we're still going to be limited to 5 cameras with 10 days of recording for those devices.
Gotcha. So I got it. I figured out the timeline. The quality is great. You know, the image is super sharp. It has the night mode on. It looks great. And so I love all that. It's definitely a very wide angle. And I actually have this on my deck, kind of facing in my back door. And because there's not a ton of distance on my deck of the camera away from the house, you get a little bit of that fisheye lens feel.
Mm-hmm.
because you could definitely tell this would get a huge 180 degree kind of view on that, which is great, especially if you want to put it outside to cover like your front yard or your entire backyard. My second question is, I was trying to set up notifications and when it's streaming and when it's recording. At first, I set it up to send me notifications whenever there's motion. I got a ton. And I was like, okay, this is too much.
Yep.
Yeah, can't do that. So then I limited it to animals and people, but it seems like it can tell what a mosquito is and marks that as an animal. And so I got a notification every time a mosquito flew in front of the camera as well. So I wanted to ask you, what are your settings for notifications and for recording and streaming on the Circle View?
Okay, so this is how I have mine laid out. So during the day, when I'm home, it is just set as detecting motion. Essentially, I guess it's not even during the day. It's whenever I'm home.
Right.
So whenever I'm home, I have it set to privacy mode. The camera is off and it's only detecting activity. And it's not sending me notifications on that activity. It's just using that to trigger any scenes or automations that I have set up and using that motion sensor and that camera for. And then when I leave, it switches into like the detect mode. And we do have pets, but I have it set for pets and humans. Mine's also on the inside, which may be different because I don't have mosquitoes running in front of it.
Right.
But I have it set for people and animals to be notified. Because honestly, I kind of want to see what my dogs are up to. Most of the time they sleep, so it doesn't send off a lot of triggers. But sometimes my one dog, he likes to get into my freaking automated pet feeder. And oddly, this is a really weird tangent. I have two automated pet feeders. We have two dogs and a cat. So I have one pet feeder for my one dog. So it's full of dog food. Then we have another one for the cat that's full of cat food. And Mosby will just somehow, he will just start trying to get into the cat's feeder. Like an only Oliver's feeder. He does not go for the one full of dog food. He wants the other one. They're the same thing, sitting within 5 feet of each other. But he pulls it away from the wall. He rips the bowl off of it. Unplugs it. Like, he will fight trying to get into the food. Of course, he can't get in there because it's made pet-proof. But it is hilarious to see, like, the footage of him, like, trying to get into this feeder for whatever reason. So it happened just on random occasions, but I have it set for detecting animal motion as well, just because I think it's freaking hilarious watching the stuff that they get into trouble while we're gone. Like, that's the most trouble they get into, and he doesn't damage anything, but it's just hilarious. We walk into the house and find, like, the pet feeder in a completely different room, dangling with a power cord and everything else.
Yeah.
So those are my settings for, like, the day, and then when I leave, it goes into that mode where it records everything for people and animals. There's no vehicles inside, so it doesn't really matter. But detecting motion, it's going to record, and then I also have it set to, you know, turn off when I get back home, and then when I put on my good night mode, then it'll turn on to record as well, just in case, because at that point we're in bed, but if someone were to break in, I obviously wanted to record.
Right.
Could trigger lights and stuff at that point if you wanted to. So at night, I'm in good night mode, so you're trying to scare someone away.
Right.
Essentially, you could go ahead and flip some lights on or something like that, but that's essentially what I have mine set as.
And so when it comes to activity notifications, you have that set for when you're away and at night?
Mm-hmm.
And then is it when any motion is detected or a clip is recorded? Because you have those two options.
Well, I mean, I basically have a clip recorded anytime motion is detected in those two modes.
Right. So it's the same. So it's be the same. Yeah. Same difference.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I'm playing around with it. It's great that you get that much granularity in the controls of it. But yeah, man, I was blasted with notifications at first. I said, okay, well, let's try this again.
Here's kind of a fun thing that people may not know for cameras in general. So whether you're looking at the Eve Cam or the Circle View or almost any other HomeKit camera that's out there. So these all have like night mode built in with that infrared lens on there, that light on there to give you up to, it's usually, they all pretty much say the same thing, which is 5 meters of night mode vision.
Mm.
You can actually get infrared bulbs and ones that work with HomeKit and extend the range of that night mode. So for example, I got a big old basement, pretty long. I don't want to stuff it with, you know, 5 different cameras, but you know, your night mode isn't reaching all the way across because that light isn't going to be that powerful.
Right.
So they have bulbs from LifeX actually.
What?
That have that infrared mode. So they can work like a standard bulb, but you can also put them into infrared. So you can actually trigger that with HomeKit. So I could set an automation that goes when my camera goes into recording mode and it's nighttime, turn on the infrared bulbs in the basement and essentially extend out that range of your night vision.
Oh my. Yep, I'm looking at it right now. That's a problem.
See? I know.
Very good. Well, I'll put a link to that in show notes. It's the LifeX. You can get an A19 Plus is the name of the bulb. And yeah, it says it will better your night mode on all that stuff. Pretty cool. And LifeX, you do not need a hub, right? That just connects to the Wi-Fi.
Yep. Those are all Wi-Fi bulbs. It gets a little funky in setting it up because, you know, like infrared isn't necessarily like a color within HomeKit, but between the LifeX app and your home app, you're able to kind of get everything sorted out correctly.
Very cool. Well, my last follow-up question. So got the Circle View, got the Acara switch. Now I was looking at two apps. One, we had mentioned it on a previous show, but HomePass, which is an app that allows you to save all the home QR code looking things, all your HomeKit device codes in a single app. And so with the different Eve devices that I've been getting lately, and now with the Circle View, I was like, okay, I want to keep track of all these HomeKit codes in one place so they're safe and backed up and all that. So I got that app. I'll put a link in show notes to that. It's great. You can export all that information as a PDF or a CSV file and save that somewhere else if you'd like for backup. So great on that. And I saw that same developer also has an app for HomeCam, where it gives you different options and views for your HomeKit cameras. Do you have that app or use it?
Oh, I absolutely use it. Partially because HomeCam, prior to tvOS 14, HomeCam was one of the few ways to get your cameras, your HomeKit cameras, on your Apple TV. Apple TV supported camera playback, but you couldn't do it through Siri or anything like that. So the only real way was to use a third-party app like HomeCam. So that was a really good one, and I also use that a lot for just monitoring around my home, especially when I'm sitting here. You know, we have a studio built here at the house where I do a lot of my filming and production, and I just like to be able to keep an eye on things, you know, front door, around the house, the dogs, everything like that. So I would often run an iPad with HomeCam running. Now, Aaron Pierce is actually working on a new app called HomeWall, I believe, that will kind of, I'm hoping, we'll see where he goes with it, but I'm hoping it combines like the status of my rooms with some of those camera feeds. So I can kind of have both. I can monitor, but be able to have like a high level, you know, view of a lot of what's going on in the house at the same time. So we'll have to see how that plays out, but I do use HomeCam and I use HomePass as well. And what's also kind of cool is because we talked about this in the last episode, macOS Big Sur is finally bringing third-party developer support to HomeKit through Catalyst. Mm-hmm. So developers like Aaron Pierce are able to port their stuff over. And Aaron has said on Twitter that HomePass and HomeCam are going to be his first two projects for the Mac. So that's going to be really exciting when those launch, be able to have those there. You'll be able to use that hopefully universal purchase and be able to get them on your Mac. I can see, you know, widgets for HomeCam being really useful. Just opening up your notification center there and seeing your live view of your home cameras there. There's a lot to do. So I do use them, and I'm really excited to see his new updates when macOS Big Sur ships.
Very cool. Well, there'll be links in show notes to those apps. Those are great. And also to all the products we just talked about. That was my personal follow-up on some past projects, but talk to me about some WWDC announcement follow-up. I know you had some experience now with the HomeKit zones and all that kind of stuff, so tell me about it.
Yeah, so obviously their HomeKit secure video in general was a kind of a big topic at WWDC this year. So you're getting, it's built more into tvOS now. You can open up the control center and you can see your live view of your cameras, and you can jump into your home, cycle through all of your cameras, or automate any scenes that you've got in there. HomeKit Secure Video this year is also getting that facial recognition, which is based off the Photos app on your phone and people that you've tagged there. So that's an amazing feature. They've been able to kind of tie all those together. So we're getting that facial recognition. It'll be able to announce things. You can get, you know, get notifications when someone's at your door, and it'll show up on your Apple TV, the live view of the camera there. A bunch of fun things going on. One of the new features is Zones. We were begging for this feature that you can actually, you know, notify or highlight the areas that you want to get notified for and what you don't want to get notified for. So big example of this is just your doorbell. You got that doorbell in your front there, and you've got your road in front of you, and then you've got what's kind of in front of your door or your driveway. You can now say, I just want my driveway and in front of my door to be, you know, motion sensitive, but I do not want anything driving down the street to trigger the motion sensor. That's just one of the most basic ones you can do, as well as doing it inside. Since the last time we've been here, we've been able to get things running basically the problem was, in my case, I mean, first off, it's a beta, so nothing ever works cleanly in a beta.
Sure.
But the reason it was not working for me was my Apple TV, which was updated to TVOS 14, was not kind of populating correctly, but you need some sort of home hub updated to the most recent versions of the HomePod running the version 14 or your Apple TV running version 14. And if you are running that, then Zones will work. So I've actually been able to go in and get that set up and tried it out. For my cameras, everything is still just, you know, buggy because we're beta one here, but it actually does work. And I love how easy and simple it is. Apple has made this just to add Zones to those cameras. So really easy to enable facial recognition and enable Zones and test those out. So I'm excited for the further improvements that Apple will be making to this, because it already is a huge step forward in kind of reducing some of those notifications that you're going to get. You know, maybe you can avoid a mosquito somehow with your Zones. I don't know, but
nah, that goes all over, man. They go right up to it because that security light on the Logitech View.
Yeah,
you know, it has like a red lights on the front. I think they just attract them all.
You can turn that off. You can turn off the light, I think.
Yeah, you can. I was debating on doing that. We'll see. We'll see if I'd still get blasted by notifications.
That's true. So yeah, so that's definitely something we've played around with. And we also, I found this feature after we had recorded, because we jumped into recording so quickly, but I now started getting notifications with iOS 14. You get notified if your cameras go offline or and then when they become reachable once more. So I quickly got a notification saying my circle view was unreachable. And then a couple of seconds later, it popped back online saying your circle view is reachable once more. And if you actually go in to look at that camera, the timeline of events that you see at the bottom, like when motion is captured, you'll also get little icons there letting you know when your cameras have gone offline. So iOS 14 is allowing you to actually get notified if your camera goes down, which could be important because if someone kind of comes in there and takes out your cameras before they record something, it may be good to know that your cameras were suspiciously going offline.
Right.
So that's a new notification coming in the update.
Very cool. Well, we're also going to put links in show notes to some of the videos that Andrew's been doing on all the different operating systems, iOS, watchOS, did a CarPlay video, which was great, not something that you see everywhere. And so Andrew ran through all the CarPlay features. But I also want to give a shout out to HomeKit Authority. They had a video really early on showcasing the Zones and all the different like facial recognition features and the new updates. So go ahead and check out HomeKit Authority. They do great work over there as well.
Yeah, and we will have a dedicated HomeKit video launching very soon. Probably early, I guess, this week, based on when you're listening to this, they'll be dropping with just highlighting in video all the new features that you can expect with iOS 14, tvOS 14, macOS, Big Sur, iPadOS, just all of that. So we'll go break down that in video form, and we'll let you guys know probably on the next week's episode that that video is actually launched. But text is written, video just needs to finish being filmed.
All right, so we had some awesome listener questions still coming in. Go ahead and continue to tweet those in. Use the hashtag HomeKitInsider. We're watching that hashtag and answering the questions here on the show. First question, this is from Derek on Twitter. He wanted us to do a Where Are They Now type segment on the iDevices company and the brand and all that. And so I know I'd asked you right before the show, but I've seen iDevices, the thermostat is still available even directly from Apple. I know I've seen it, I think at Home Depot or Lowe's as well. So iDevices, they're still around. I still have some. They were some of the earliest HomeKit plugs, I think, that you could get. I still have one of those somewhere in my house powering one of the lamps. But yeah, iDevices, they're still around. They haven't announced anything new, I don't think. Or have you seen anything, Andrew?
No, they've been a little bit quiet. They used to have a huge presence at CES in the last like year or so. They were a little bit more quiet. The Instinct was launching, and originally when it was announced, the Instinct was going to be launching with HomeKit and everything in there, and that actually came to market, and we didn't get HomeKit support in there. They've kind of missed that on a few different things. Hubble Incorporated, if anyone's heard of them, but they've acquired iDevices a few years ago, like 3 years ago at this point. So I don't know how that has changed any of their product pipelines. Because iDevices started as kind of almost like an incubator. People would bring them ideas and they'd produce them. So they did the Weber iGrill devices for, they originated that iDevices iGrill, and then they sold that off to Weber. They had devices like the iShower.
Oh, yeah.
Was one of their early devices that they did. And they started really getting into the home automation space. They launched some amazing products. I still love their devices in general because I like that they do the little status lights.
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of cool. Like, it's such a minor little thing, but it acts kind of like a night light or a status light, stuff like that. So you incorporate these, you know, you put an iDevices switch on your wall. It connects to Wi-Fi, not Bluetooth. It works with all these different platforms. And then it has that additional night light, status light thing. So you can do a bunch with that. You can color code that to get an alert, you know, based on a HomeKit smoke detector or something to change that to, you know, red if there's a problem, or you could have that change color based on if there's motion detected in the house. So if you're in your bedroom, you can kind of like see an update of like, oh gosh, why is there motion detected somewhere in the house?
Right.
And you may get that visually, but you may notice that before you would notice it like from your phone or something. So that's a possibility. Right. We kind of threw around ideas for like kids for like a nap time or something like that. And you can actually schedule that light to be like green when they're allowed to come out of the room and like red when it's supposed to still be like nap time or something, like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a bunch of different ideas you can do with those like little status lights or just night lights, you know, turning them bright when motion's detected. So you can get a little bit of extra light there in the middle of the night without having to pull out your phone or turn really bright ceiling lights on. So there's a lot you can do with their gear. And I really, really liked it. And I've been disappointed that we never got that fan controller, I think, that they announced.
Right,
and then, of course, Instinct launched without any HomeKit support in sight. And I'm not sure why HomeKit support wasn't there, if it was a decision that iDevices made, or maybe that was a restriction from Apple, because it is primarily an Alexa switch, and Apple just didn't want to be there with Alexa at the same time. But, of course, a bunch of other devices always support Alexa. So I just don't know where things kind of shook out. But right now, the Instinct's on the market. It's a great device, but it does not work with HomeKit.
Gotcha. And another question we got on Twitter, this is from Alex Hall. He was asking, a topic that he's interested in is alarm systems. He knows the Akara Hub can be an alarm, and there's some from Abode and others. And he also wanted to know, can arming be automated, like setting the system to away or stay? And I know you have some experience, I think, with both the Abode and Akara. So why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, so I have both of those in my home. I use both of those. And
so sounds like you're super enthused about it.
I know. I'm always enthused about it. It's one of those kind of pain points in the HomeKit ecosystem for me. And it frustrates me that kind of once again, we didn't get some of the things that we need to really, you know, continue to push HomeKit forward.
Right.
The main limitation here with any HomeKit alarm is that you cannot use like third-party devices to trigger an alarm. So I can't use my Akara hub or my Abode IOTA hub and trigger it with my Eve contact sensors or my Ecobee contact sensors or the ones from Fibaro or the new Vocalink ones that we just talked about. Like, none of those can trigger these alarms. So if you are going with the Akara hub and you want to use that as your alarm, you got to go buy a bunch of Akara motion sensors and contact sensors to outfit your house with. And for me, it's frustrating because I've built my HomeKit home, and in certain spots I've used certain contact sensors and other spots I've used other ones for various reasons, or the ability to extend them with like the Eve device. And, you know, if there's weird random spots where I can use the Eve ones, because I can extend those to make sure that I'm getting that constant feedback if something's going on. I'm getting, you using Fibaro ones that are really small in certain spots, the Kugeek ones I've got around, like, we got all these different sensors, and I kind of really despise the fact that to use a HomeKit alarm, you're tied into a brand of motion and contact sensors.
Yeah.
So that is something that I would like to change in HomeKit, because the whole point of HomeKit, or one of the big things other than privacy, is the fact that it's so open and you can use, you know, any device and they all work seamlessly together. And it just feels counterintuitive to be, okay, I'm going to go ahead and get a HomeKit alarm system. You can't use any of those motion sensors or contact sensors you already have in your house. You have to go and buy them from that alarm manufacturer.
Yeah,
I don't like that. That part irks me. That said, I know Abode has a bunch of different styles of contact sensors that'll work, and Akara is very affordable, so those are definite benefits. You can automate arming process. There's a few different ways that can go. So one, you can have it arm every time you leave and disarm every time you come home. You can also set it on like a good night scene. So whenever you go to bed, say good night, it'll go ahead and arm that thing. The other frustration here with HomeKit is there's no way to change, really from HomeKit, I believe, the different types of armed.
Because like stay or away.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Because ideally, especially if you don't have pets, if you are a pet-free and child-free home, it is easier. Because you can do, you know, when you actually leave the house, it is fully armed and motion or contact sensors will trigger an alarm. And then when you're staying, like night mode armed, in that case, it's going to just do contact sensors, but it won't trip off of motion sensors because you are in the house and you may not want to do those things. So there's kind of different versions. There's I believe there's like stay, there's night, there's away and off. There's like four different versions that you could set this, but HomeKit has no way to specify which one and what is going to arm it and not arm it. Like, you have to do all that through the manufacturer's app. So it's just a weird kind of, it's great that HomeKit supports alarms and you can trigger other stuff off of them and you'll get your notifications and all that, but it really seems like they're kind of just shoved in there at the moment and they're not like fully integrated. So I want to be able to see third-party devices, you know, or other people's stuff triggering alarms and being able to more easily change the modes and everything else. But you can automate it just kind of away or off as you come and go and based on scenes. So that's at least some benefit, but there's still a lot further to go with that. That's the abode and a car one that we talked about. There's also a new one from Anker under their Eufy brand, but it's not specifically HomeKit. This was reported on this week. It just launched, like $160, and it comes with like all the normal stuff. So it comes with like contact sensors, motion sensors, a keypad on the wall, and the hub. And it actually works with the Eufy cameras. So those HomeKit cameras that you may have, you could pick up this alarm, and the cameras will actually benefit from the alarms because they can actually use those motion sensors to help kind of get rid of false positives and stuff like that. It's kind of nice to be able to use the contact sensors from the security system with your HomeKit-enabled Eufy cameras, but the alarm system itself is not HomeKit-enabled, unfortunately. Maybe that'll come down the line because Eufy has added HomeKit to devices, but we're just going to have to wait on that part.
Now, you may have said this, but do any of these systems actually can call the police if the alarm is triggered?
That is a good question. So not through HomeKit. The Akara one, I don't think has any options like that, but the Abode actually offers an option like that. And what I really like about the Abode is you can do like a 3-day or like a 6-day, like you can do these super short monitoring plans. You know, I don't want a paid alarm system around the clock, but I may want it when I go on vacation for the weekend or something like that. So I really like that ability to do like a really short window of secure monitoring for when I'm out of town or something.
Gotcha. So, and you pay Abode for that service?
Yes.
Interesting. And so if it's triggered while you're in away mode, it will contact the police and then...
Well, it would contact the Abode monitoring service, so the Abode would see, just like ADT or something like that. They'd get a notification that your stuff was set off, and they'd pull it up, and they'd be able to, you know, if they do see somebody breaking in, then they're going to be able to call the authorities and get that process, you know, started to get some sort of action taken on your behalf. Same thing if there's like a fire detected or anything like that. They can, it's basically just their actual person monitoring your home if something should go off.
Gotcha. And so that is 66 cents a day contract free. That's their pro plan. I'll put a link in show notes to their security kit, but also to these plans, and you can read more about it. It has like cellular connectivity backup if your Wi-Fi network goes down. And yes, well, they have other FAQs that answer all those questions. So yeah, that's the Abode.
We'll talk more about the Abode IOTA because that's a really cool device, and they're just launching another camera that they announced at CES. So we'll do a more in-depth breakdown of the IOTA in a future episode, I think.
Got it. Very cool. Well, thank you for those listener questions, everybody. And we'd love to answer more of them in future shows. So continue to tweet hashtag HomeKit Insider and mention Andrew and myself. Our Twitter handles are in show notes. And there's something else that you can do on Twitter this week because we had that giveaway that Andrew mentioned at the beginning of the show. Andrew, why don't you tell us about that giveaway?
I am so excited. So Eve sponsored our episode last week, our Dub episode, big special episode there. They also offered to give away an Eve camera. So we've got a brand new Eve cam to give away to one of our wonderful listeners. And it is really easy to do. We've done all the work for you guys. All you have to do is there's a button, a link in the show notes, click it, and it's going to basically just send out a tweet, or it'll populate a tweet for you. You can change it to whatever you want, but it's going to create a tweet for you that basically just says, listen to HomeKit Insider, and sends out a link to the show with our hashtag. So all you have to do is send out a tweet with our hashtag like that, and you're entered. And before next week's episode, we will pick our winner, and we'll let you guys know on next week's episode who won an Eve Cam.
Very cool. So yeah, go to the show notes, click the link that says tweet this to win an Eve Cam, and it'll populate that tweet for you. You'll be able to send it out, and you'll be entered to win. We'll announce that winner on the next episode. So be sure to do that quickly. And then don't forget, you can follow us on Twitter, and you can always use the hashtag HomeKit Insider with your questions. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. So many of you have done that, and we really appreciate it. It's helped us climb the ranks already and be in those top technology podcasts. And so we appreciate that. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you next week.